Thank you, Brother Courtney. And good morning, brethren. Thank you, Sister Shorika, for that beautiful song. And we thank everyone for coming on and making the service such a blessing it has been so far. As Brother Courtney rightly pointed out at the opening, we have come to the final Sabbath in the year 2020. 2020 most likely was the most trying year for many of us, not all of us. Many of the usual privileges taken away. Those who love to travel, no vacation, so many things. 2021, 22, 23, those years are ahead of us. And I'm sure that the challenge that we had in 2020 is not behind us as yet. We still have the coronavirus, and this we'll need more time to deal with. What I know for the people of God is that we must survive. We will survive. And the topic I want to speak on today that will help us to survive is the topic of faith. And so I'd like to entitle this message, Strong in Faith, because this is what I believe we truly need to be on top of situation and circumstances at all times. Strong faith. I begin with reading Romans 4, in verse 20. And it starts with Father Abraham. Romans 4:20 says, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Just that one statement has so much. This was a man who walk and talk with God as if God was physically there with him. He believed. Now, what was it that was so outstanding about Abraham? Why he is mentioned throughout the scriptures as the father of faith? Let's turn to Genesis 12. And we read 1 to 8 to recap the story and to see what faith really is. Now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. That's what God said to Abram. Now, what was Abram's response? There was no question here. Verse 4 says, so Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him. That is faith, brethren. A man who is settled with his family, his friends, and his land. He had his goods. Maybe he was fairly wealthy. And God just asked him to get out of his country and from his family and his father's house to a land that he will show him. Didn't even know exactly where he was going. God said he will show him. That's future. And that he will make him a great nation. And all these blessings. And Abraham simply believed what God said and departed. That is awesome faith. So he departed, and Lot went with him. And so, and Abraham was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. And Abraham took Sarah, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people whom they had acquired in Haran, and they departed to go into the land of Canaan. So they came to the land of Canaan. Abraham passed through the land of the place of Shechem, as far as the terebinth tree of Moreh. And the Canaanites were then in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your descendants I will give this land." And there he built an altar to the Lord, who had appeared to him. And he moved from there to the mountain east of Bethel, and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west of Ai, on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. Simply obedient to the commands of God, one step at a time, one plot at a time, God spoke, gave directions, and Abraham followed, believing. Not everyone have that level of faith. Not everyone can move out of their comfort zone to an unknown future at the voice of God. Sometimes doubt comes in and one is not sure, should I or should I not? The man of faith moved as if there was no doubt as to who spoke to him, and that whatever was said to him is going to happen, like 100%. That is faith. He is the father of faith. And we all should try to emulate Abraham in believing God whenever he speaks. So God gives a number of commandments and messages and prophecies throughout the scriptures that we are expected to believe. And those who believe, we have the benefits. But unbelief has always been a struggle with the people of God. And I'm going to point out a few scriptures where leaders of the past struggled with belief. And God had to give them additional assurances to get them over their doubt so that they can be like Abraham and move as if they are 100% certain of a promise, of a directive from God that it will happen. That is what God wants us to do. I'm going to look at Moses and an incident that he had with the people of God and recorded in Numbers 11. And how his faith was challenged. Moses was a man of great faith, no doubt. But there are times when our faith is really challenged. And how do we overcome those moments? Let's see what happened. Numbers 11, 4 to 6, we begin. Now the mixed multitude who were among them yielded to intense craving. So the children of Israel wept again and said, "Who will give us meat to eat? We remember the fish which we ate freely in Egypt. the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic. But now our whole being is dried up. There is nothing at all except this manna before our eyes. Here, Israel, who God so miraculously delivered from the bondage of slavery, they are pining over Egypt and the good food that they enjoyed there, and complaining about the manna that God gave them to sustain them until they get to the promised land. In verse 10, then Moses heard the people weeping throughout their families, everyone at the door of his tent. And the anger of the Lord was greatly aroused. Moses also was displeased. So this was a very trying situation. And both God and Moses, they were displeased. Now we're from verse 11. So Moses said to the Lord, why have you afflicted your servant? And why have I not found favor in your sight, that you have laid the burden of all the people on me? Did I conceive all these people? Did I beget them? That you should say to me, carry them on in your bosom, as a guardian carries a nursing child, to the land which you swore to their fathers? Where am I to get meat to give all these people? For they weep all over me, saying, give us meat that we may eat. Am I able to bear all these people alone? Because the burden is too heavy for me. If you treat me like this, please kill me here and now, if I have found favor in your sight, and do not let me see my wretchedness. There are times when the best of us, brethren, get to that place of despondency. And we think the best way out is to leave the situation. And in Moses' case, just let Lord just kill me. Just let me die, because this is just too burdensome. He felt like a father carrying a burden. The burden of the children of Israel was just too great for him. But he was speaking to God, and he knew that God would hear him. So we know that God listened, and one of the problem was that Moses alone was doing too much. And so God said, okay, let me appoint 70 of the elders of Israel to share the leadership load with you. And so God took the spirit that was upon Moses, and he gave it to the 70 that they would help him with the leadership of Israel. That was just part of the solution. Let's read from verse 17 to 20. Then I will come down and talk with you there. I will take up the spirit that is upon you and will put the same upon them. And they shall bear the burden of the people with you, that you may not bear it yourself alone. Then you shall say to the people, consecrate yourselves for tomorrow, and you shall eat meat, for you have wept in the hearing of the Lord, saying, who will give us meat to eat? For it was well with us in Egypt. Therefore, the Lord will give you meat. And you shall eat. You shall eat not only one day, nor 2 days, nor 5 days, nor 10 days, nor 20 days, But for a whole month until it comes out of your nostrils and become loathsome to you, because you have despised the Lord who is among you and have wept before him, saying, why did we ever come up out of Egypt? So this is what God said he would do to solve the problem of the people's craving for meat. That they're going to get meat, not one or two or five or 10 or 20 days, but for a whole month they're going to have meat. That's quite a promise. Now, what happened here? Numbers 11, 21 to 23. Then Moses said, the people whom I am among are 600,000 men on foot. And that's just the men counted. It is estimated that with the all the women and children could be over 2 million people. Yet you have said, I will give them meat that they may eat for a whole month. Shall flocks and herds be slaughtered for them to provide enough for them? Or shall all the fish of the sea be gathered together for them to provide enough for them? So these are the questions that Moses had. God said he's going to provide meat for a whole month. Now, this is what faith is all about now. God said something. Believe in God without question is strong faith. Okay, you said it, Lord. I'm not going to question you. But Moses seemed to struggle a little bit because in his human mind, he could not see how this could be accomplished. What is God going to do? Bring an all flock and slaughter them? And all the fish from the sea? How are you going to feed 2 million people for a month? Impossible. And the Lord said to Moses, has the Lord's arm been shortened? Now you shall see whether what I say will happen to you or not. Brethren, when we have faith in God, when we believe God enough, the impossible in our mind and estimation can happen. God can do anything because he's sovereign. He's God. He's able, very well able. He can make things happen, things that is way beyond our imagination. And God challenged Moses, you're going to see whether my hands are short. I can make it happen. So we go to verse 31 to 35. This is how God made it happen. He said, now a wind went out from the Lord, and it brought quails from the sea and left them fluttering near the camp, about a day's journey on this side and about a day's journey on the other side, all around the camp, and about 2 cubits above the surface of the ground. Wow. 2 cubits. That's a heap of quails all around. And the people stayed up all that day, all that night, and all the next day and gathered the quails. He who gathered the least gathered 10 homers. And they spread them out for themselves all around the camp. Wow. So here God provide miraculously enough meat for everyone. And those who gather the the least. 10 homers. I should have done the conversion to modern day language, but we'll work on that. But while the meat was still between their teeth, before it was chewed, the wrath of the Lord was aroused against the people, and the Lord struck the people with a great plague. So he called the name of that place Kibroth Hattaavot, because there they buried the people who had yielded to craving. From Kibroth Hattaava, the people moved to Hazeroth and encamped at Zerah. The people certainly were rebellious here, ungrateful, not discerning the goodness of the Lord, not remembering his promise. The Bible did mention it was a mixed multitude. So there were some who were believing, strong in faith, but there were others who were definitely rebellious. And it was a burdensome time. But when God told Moses that he's going to give every one of them what they're asking for, Moses staggered. He could not believe. How are you going to do it? But God did it, and did it well. Just in this case, it was so sad that what the people asked, well, it was not according to the will of God. God would not have them to do that. So in his anger, he proved to them that he can provide, but he also destroyed many of them because of the craving and the sin. But the point is that Moses, when he questioned God, how are you going to do it? God proved his hand is not short. He can make it happen. We may come up in circumstances in our lives. Most of us have experienced those circumstances where you wonder, how will God answer prayer? How will he deal with a situation? And you realize that he make a way. He made things happen. I have many testimonies personally. Praise be to God. Because the hand of God has never been short. He's able. And because of that, my faith continued to increase. Because I do serve a God who is beyond any powers that we can imagine. I want to share another story in the Hebrew scriptures that will help to strengthen our faith. And it's the story of Gideon. Now, if we look at Genesis 6, verse 1, let's go there. Then the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. So the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian for 7 years. So Israel was greatly impoverished because the Midianites and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. That was verse 6. So here we're in a situation, you know, Israel at the time, during the period of the judges, there was no clear leader. The people were very rebellious. And God just raised up a leader as required. And this was a time when Israel was down. They were trampled by the Midianites. And they cried to the Lord, and God is about to deliver them. Now let's read verse 11. 12. Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the tabernacle tree, which was in Ophrah, which belongeth to Joash the Abizrite, while his son Gideon threshed wheat in the winepress in order to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, the Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. So that's how the Lord visited Gideon and greeted him. The Lord is with him, mighty man of valor. The angels, of course, spent some time with Gideon, made them food, reasoned with them. But Gideon was not sure if he was so chosen and if he was ready to take on what God asked him to do. And after much entreating, Gideon decided that, okay, you know, or everything sounds good. All that you're saying to me sounds good, but I need a test. I need to be sure. This was a great war to fight. It was a multitude of people, and God promised that Gideon would take them on as one man. That was a great task. Gideon had to believe in God. He also had to believe in himself in order to take on this task for God and for Israel and for his family. So let's look at verse 36 to 40. What did Gideon need to do in order to get that final level of faith, erasing all doubt? Verse 36, so Gideon said to God, if you will save Israel by my hands as you have said, talking to God here now, look, I shall put a fleece of wool on the threshing floor. If there is dew on the fleece only, and it is dry on all the ground, then I shall know that you will save Israel by my hand as you have said. And it was so. Verse 38. When he arose early the next morning, he squeezed the fleece together and wrung out dew out of the fleece, a bowl full of water. Then Gideon said to God, do not be angry with me, but let me speak just once more. Let me test, I pray, just once more with the fleece. Let it now be dry only, and the fleece, but all the ground let there be dew. And God did so that night. It was dry on the fleece only, but the dew on all the ground. This was how Gideon built his faith. Now, what Gideon wanted was to erase all doubt. He's going into a war, and he wants to know that God is with him. He wants to, because God said that he would be with him. God also said that he will deliver Israel. Gideon took the words back to God. You have said this. Now I'm going to give you a test. Please, just to erase all doubt, I'll put the fleece out there. And if in the morning the fleece is wet, the ground is dry, I believe you. Yes, it happened. He went out. The ground was dry. The fleece was wet. He could squeeze out that bowl full of water. You would think that, yeah, he would say, okay, God, this is a miracle. I believe. But he entreated God more because he needed more confidence. He needed to build his faith some more. And so he said, okay, this time, just reverse it. Let the fleece be dry and the ground be wet. And God did it. God, brethren, is so wonderful. There are times he knows when we're struggling with our faith, with believing him, what he says, what he promised. And if we ask, he will give us whatever we desire to increase our faith. He has done that quite a number of times. So, of course, we know the story of Gideon. After he was fully convinced that God was with him, that he was going to fight this war, he was going to win, then whatever God said after that, Gideon just obeyed. So when he said, okay, the men with you are too many, cut them down, Gideon obeyed. When he said, there are still too many, he went down to the 300. Because after his faith was built to the point where he believed God, whatever he said, then when God gave directive, no more questions. You are God, you are with me, I know whatever you say is going to happen. I'm now a man of faith. I have full confidence in you. That was Gideon's journey. Oh, brethren, many of us have had what is called our Gideon moment. Maybe there was a point in your life when you had your own doubts and you asked God for something specific, maybe some sign, and it happened. You know, I can just share one. You know, there was a time in my life when I was moved to get a church together. We moved to a new community and we didn't have a church home. And, you know, the brethren that were in that area were quite willing to meet in my house. And so, but where I lived was a bit remote. There was no direct transportation. So I had to be driving down on Sabbath morning and picking up brethren and then come and we meet in the house. So happened that, you know, after like a month or so of doing that, not quite sure the time frame, but then it becomes very burdensome. You have to be making 1, 2, 3, 4 trips, and then the living room we had was overflowing with over 20 people. And I remember just going to fasting, and I said, Lord, this is just not manageable. We need a church building. We need a place where we can meet. And I pray. And I said, Lord, within 3 weeks, we would like to have it. 3 weeks. I have no idea why I put that time frame on the prayer, on that request. But I did. But then by the next week, I got a call. Pastor that, you know, very familiar with. He came to one of our meetings and we were meeting in a different location. And he loved what we were doing. Now he decided to migrate and he said, look, there's a church that he has. It was close enough to us. We didn't know about it. And he said that he didn't want to leave it in any other hands but our hands. And he has been trying to get to us and just couldn't. And the moment he got the breakthrough on call and I went to meet him, but then before the 3 weeks were up, we were able to move into that church building. Not only, you know, did I just have a building, there was a office, there was everything ready and going for the ministry. But that thing strengthened my faith so much. I never like to put God to the test, but I did put that 3 weeks. And before the 3 weeks, God was sure of me that his hands were not short. He did it. Because of that, there's almost nothing that I find impossible for God to do. What is important is that I want to know His will, because I do not want to be like Israel, who asks for things because of my personal cravings, and then He will give me to my destruction. I want to ask for things that is according to His will, so that I can be blessed and fulfilled, and His name can be glorified. That's what happened to Abraham. His faith was strong, and he gave glory to God. Brothers and sisters, not everyone is strong in faith. Deuteronomy 32:20 says, "And he said, I will hide my face from them. I will see what their end shall be, for they are a very froward generation, children in whom is no faith." When God said that there is no faith, there is no faith. The people that he proved himself to, you wonder, how is it that they did not have that faith? How is it that they saw the great deliverance, all the plagues in Egypt? How did they see the miracle of the Red Sea? And yet, there are some who don't believe. Weak, no faith, but there are some. Well, that's just the human condition. Today, we would wonder why some people still don't believe in God. But there are some who has no faith. There are some who have a little faith. Let's go to the New Testament now. Matthew 6, verse 30 says, "Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith?" So Jesus, in addressing his followers, realized that there were some who were overly concerned about the necessities of life. And he says, if you are like that, your faith is small. God is taking care of the grass in the field, which is of no worth. He will take care of you. Just believe. Here's another story of little faith. Matthew 8, 23 to 27. "Now when he got into a boat, his disciples followed him. And suddenly a great tempest arose on the sea, so that the boat was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. Then his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we're perishing. But he said unto them, why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. So the men marveled, saying, who can this be, that even the winds and the sea obey him?" What a lesson he tried to teach his disciples, my brethren. They're in the boat on the great sea, and there was a tempest. so that the boat was covered with waves. I wouldn't want to be in that situation. But the master was there asleep. He was so calm. Of course, the disciples, being fearful, they awoke him. And he just demonstrated what they should have done. Because if they believe in God, if they have faith, things can happen. And he told them that over and over. If you have faith as much as a grain of mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, be moved, and it shall obey you. Why were they troubled with the tempest? All they had to do was stand up and just rebuke the winds and the sea, like he did. But no, they had little faith. They were not there yet. They would not attempt to look at winds and say, be calm. They didn't have that faith. Their faith was small. If you and I were in that boat, would you think of rebuking the wind? And the waves? I think I would be just like the disciples. I would be fearful for my life. But Jesus is teaching us that even in these circumstances, we should not be fearful. When we have faith, even the elements can come in subjection. And so he demonstrated that, and the sea was calm. Marvelous. Awesome. Great is our God. This just helped me to believe some more. This just helped me to have more faith right now, brethren. What expectation God have of his children? We should be fearful of nothing, but we should have faith. Well, we don't always get it. And we're trying. And like Peter, we will find ourselves trying. Let us look now at Peter, who was another one who had little faith. Matthew 14, we read from verse 25. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them, walking on the sea. And when his disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a ghost. And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, and be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. So he said, come. And when Peter had come down from the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, O thou of little faith, why did you doubt? And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those who were in the boat came and worshiped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. What lessons to learn here, brethren? So Peter, in disbelief, could not believe that Jesus was walking on top of the water. His test was If it be you, Lord, let me also walk. And he began to walk. Yes, he was walking on the water. But brethren, the human tendency to doubt and to fear came upon him. And he started to sink. So Jesus, the master of all, saved him. And he just let him know, your faith is small, Peter. Why did you doubt? And this is the lesson we are getting as we go through these stories, that for us, our faith to be strong, we cannot doubt. So when God says something is very clear, it's understood, believe it with all that you have. The moment you start to doubt, you start to lose faith. And you cannot fulfill the will of God without faith. Now, where do we see that? We will get to that in Hebrews. But before Hebrews, I want to point out that not everyone, all humans, are weak in faith. And there's one example of one man who was strong in faith that is worth looking at. And that's found in Matthew 8. Matthew 8. Now, when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof. But only speak a word, and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes. And to another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith. No, not in Israel. This is a wow. So he told Peter he had little faith. He told the disciples their faith was small. But this one surprised him. The centurion had power. He knew to use words and the commands to be done. But he believed in Jesus so much that he said that he was not worthy that the Lord should come under his roof. But just speak the word and he knew that his servant will be healed. Oh my God. This is wonderful. Of course, Jesus spoke the word and the servant was healed the same hour. God is marvelous. And if we have the ability to believe like this centurion, great things can happen. So we come to the summary chapter of faith, Hebrews 11. After looking at all these examples, brethren, what is faith? Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtain a good testimony. By faith we understand that the words were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. And he looked at Enoch, Abel, and Noah, how they acted on faith, pleasing God. But verse 11, chapter 11, verse 6, makes the statement, but without faith, it is impossible to please God, to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. If we truly intend to please God, we must have faith. Without a strong belief in God as an existing being, and in his words as true and faithful, and that they all will come to pass, we will never be able to please God. Impossible. Brethren, let's look at this summary, starting from verse 13, as we bring this thoughts to a conclusion. After mentioning a number of names, it says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declared plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. So the writer here is saying that all these people of faith, they suffered various things as a result of their strong belief. That in fact, they all have a vision of something better than the physical world. And Jesus made that promise that he is going to prepare a place and he will come and receive his people. Brethren, look at the reward of faith as we go to verse 30. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down, and they were enriched for 7 days. After they were encircled, for 7 days. By faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe. Then when she had received the spies with peace, and what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, we spoke of, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, and Samuel, and the prophets. Now look what these people did through faith. Who, through faith, subdued kingdoms, praise God, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trial of mocking and scourging, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were tempted. They were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains, dens and caves of the earth. And all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise, God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. What a wonderful conclusion to a chapter of faith. I trust, brethren, that you're all encouraged and strengthened as you review the many mighty acts of faith displayed by children of God throughout the ages. As we face the future, we need to demonstrate, not that we have little faith like the examples we looked at, but that we will be like Abraham, strong in faith, and that we all will do our researches that we have to research so as to rule out any uncertainty so we can believe and be saved. Remember, there are many who are waiting on us. They without us will not be made perfect. We look forward definitely to seeing them in the world to come. God bless you all. Have a great rest of the Sabbath and have lots of faith. Thank you.